So in a world that can be so hard, where life can just be hard, and where this cynicism can get into us, often we're not even quite aware of it, but this cynicism gets deep into our heart. How do we live into the way of compassion? How do we live into the way of compassion? Well, our lessons can give us some help. The hardness of life is revealed in Genesis 18 as Abraham and Sarah have been promised an heir. This heir, this child, is their entire hope for the future. They had left their land with this sense of promise that they would give birth to a new way of life. It all begins with the heir. Without the heir, there is no future, there is no hope. Everything falls to nothing. And they've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And now they're both far beyond the years of childbearing, and there's anguish and anxiety and despair. And then, finally, God shows up. God and these two companions, two angels, shows up out of the desert at the door of the tent and says, "The promise is about to be fulfilled. Sarah will have a baby." And Sarah, without even probably knowing it, laughs. She's hidden behind the tent because women couldn't come out in those days. She laughs. And the laugh, if you think about it, is a mix of cynicism. This is nonsense. This is impossible. This is ridiculous. Combined with just a tiny glimmer of, could it be? And you put those two together and you get a laugh. And then when the baby is actually born, they name him Isaac, which in Hebrew means he laughs. Which is a way to say that Isaac is the embodiment of hope out of hopelessness. Of hope out of hopelessness. That often begins with a laugh. Is there something for us to learn from this story? Well, the place I begin is, why does God wait so long? Why didn't God come earlier? What's that all about? Well, here's my theory. Abraham was a big deal. He was a patriarch. He had a family, an extended family, a harem. He had slaves. He had sheep and goats. He had workers. He was a big deal. It wasn't just Abraham and Sarah. It was this whole big menagerie. As hard as life was for Abraham, he knew that he was a good manager. He could just do everything himself. Like a good old farmer. He could just fix anything, solve anything, take the sheep and goats across the desert, no big deal. I can do it all. And so, he's got Sarah, he's got the slave girl Hagar, he's got a whole harem. He'll figure this heir thing out somehow. But over the years, none of his schemes for getting an heir had worked out. So what if all through those years, God had actually been showing up at the door of his tent over and over again, ready to offer this fulfillment? But Abraham was so self-absorbed, so preoccupied with all his schemes about this, that, and the other, including the whole heir business, he just didn't see God standing there. There God was, another desert mirage. Get out of my way. I don't have time for mirages. I'm busy. I'm hard at work. Until Abraham finally comes to the absolute end of his rope. As it says in Genesis, he's 100 years old. It's time to give it up. And so he's sitting at the door of his tent in hopelessness, in despair. And here comes God once again. But finally, Abraham has the eyes to see. he welcomes the stranger. And then a new world opens up. In the hardness of this life, in the hidden cynicism that gets into us, how often do we push the stranger away, push God away, actually push hope away? Until we realize that we're at the end of our rope. And then something else can happen. So let me update the story. I have a friend in AA who got sober in his early 60s after a life of drinking and wrecking just about every relationship he'd been in with his kids, his couple of wives, everybody else, his work. And since he was ruining everything, that gave him a good cause to drink, and he liked to drink with his brother. So the two of them would drink together until the brother came down with pancreatitis and landed in the hospital and almost died from it. And then the doctor came to the brother and said, "You're going to survive this bout of pancreatitis, but I have some very sad news for you. You have severe cirrhosis of the liver. You do not have long to live. There's nothing we can do. So just go ahead and keep drinking. It's all over for you." His brother, my friend, figured that this would give him great cause to keep drinking and he would just drink himself into oblivion and be done with it. But instead, for this man, it was like Abraham finally coming to the end of his rope. It's like he's sitting at the door of his tent, stunned, and God shows up. And he saw something deeper. And so my friend's brother, instead of just dying, went to see his minister many times, started going to church, stopped drinking. And for the 9 months of life he had left to him, he started making amends to his kids, to his family, to the world around him, and inspired and impressed my friend, who nonetheless kept drinking. Later, my friend came down with pancreatitis, landed in the hospital. The doctor came to him and said, "You're going to be fine, but I got to tell you, you've got the beginnings of cirrhosis of the liver. You might want to think about that." And as my friend reported it, his very first thought was, "Good, I don't have to change. I can keep drinking. It's just in its early stages." And then, whenever he would share this story, he had this laugh that would come. And he said, "And then my second thought was, wow, I really am a sick person to think like that." And I always, that laugh I can hear in my head, because it's this mix, like Sarah, of on the one side, the cynicism almost, this sense of, I am one hopeless case. Nothing is going to change for me. And yet on the other side, there's this little glimmer, but I'm aware of how hopeless I am. This is ridiculous. Then comes the laugh. And the laugh comes because something strange and unfamiliar, like a little waft of fresh air, has come in that's just sort of puzzling. But for my friend, it became a turning point. He realized he was actually at the end of his rope. He could not manage this hard life anymore. He had actually not managed this hard life at all for years and years and years. He finally saw that. He wasn't a good manager. Neither was Abraham. And so, like Abraham and Sarah, and like his brother, he surrendered to his higher power and slowly, steadily started to change. And he became a person of compassion. He made amends to his family. He started giving drunks rides to AA. He started sponsoring those who were struggling. He had an open heart of kindness to everybody he met, an easy laugh, an easy smile, a gracious way. He did that for the next 15 years, and now he has severe dementia, and he's in a nursing home, and he continues to have an easy laugh and a warm way, even though he can't remember who you are. When we come to the end of ourselves, to a kind of hopelessness, that's when God can appear. That's when we can begin to see that God's been here all along, waiting, waiting, waiting for us. Now, all of us here are probably not desperately hoping for an heir. And most of us are probably not sinking under the direct weight of addiction. But there is plenty of hopelessness to go around right now in our society. There's certainly personal struggles, hardness, cynicism that gets into us, hopelessness. But right now in our society, there are too many shootings. There are too many guns. There are too many deportations. There's too much hate and vitriol. There's too much corruption in high places. There's too much inequality. There's too much chaos. There's just too much suffering. How do we manage all of this? Well, it makes me think of Abraham and Sarah and my friend. What happens when we just start by accepting where we are, that this is really, really hard? And we begin to admit that we all may be at the end of our rope. And my first thought is, I can't admit that because I'm afraid if I admit I'm at the end of my rope, then I might just collapse entirely. I might just give up entirely and go crawl under the bed or maybe drink myself into oblivion. But the gospel call says, if we can admit we're at the end of our rope, if we can stop fighting and trying to manage and control it all, in that very moment, God, a stranger, can appear. If we will welcome the stranger in, surrender to this deeper wisdom that is bubbling up, then doors can open, new possibilities can come, and we might actually have hope for a future. This story about Isaac might actually be our story. The one who makes us laugh, the hopelessness of the daily newspaper, and yet God is still at work. This is the path that Jesus proclaimed, this pathway of surrender to God. This is what Jesus did from beginning to end. And as a result, he didn't collapse, he didn't give up. Rather, just the opposite. He was able to respond powerfully to the hard, cynical world. And he was able to shift the energy and make things happen. And one of the things he made happen was he looked intently at his disciples and he sent them out and he said, live in this way, the way of compassion. And it wasn't just for them. It goes down generation by generation, all the way to us. And so can we listen to Jesus? Can we turn and follow Jesus and make room for God who's already here standing at the door of our tent? May we see. May we see. Amen.